Our scripture this morning is found in Psalms 139, verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting.
Happy Sabbath! It is a happy Sabbath. We're all together at the Lord's house to praise Him, to give each other encouragement, to pray together, and to worship our Lord and our Savior. No better place to be on a Sabbath morning. Well, today we're going to gather all the points that we've been going over. This is the fifth and the last in my little series here on the search for that perfect peace, the secrets of peace. And if you're so interested and would like to go back, they are on YouTube. You can look there. Kindly numbered, numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and you can see them in order instead of waiting weeks in between, if you care to. Anyway, so let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we humbly bow before you. So glad for the blessings that you've already bestowed upon us. The health you've given us, the life you've given us, the eternal life that you've offered us, if we but choose. Not only that, Lord, but you've also offered to give us all the power. So we claim some of that today. May your Holy Spirit come and touch our hearts and take these feeble words, Lord, and may they bring honor and glory to you and help us as we encourage one another on the journey homeward. Teach us, we pray, in thy name. Amen. Well, if you remember, our key text for this series is Luke 9:23. And he said to them all, that's everybody, right? So Jesus speaks to everybody. And he said to them all, if any man or woman will come unto me or come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. So we're going to gather all these points we've talked about and kind of put them together. And in the handout, you see, I didn't give you a lot of fill-in sort of things, but you can just kind of write your own notes or whatever you care to as we go along. But hopefully today we're going to try to put them all together and kind of think of how, well, how the rubber meets the road. It's kind of a so what? We can talk and we can think all these things, but if we don't put them into our lives, so what? It's just knowledge. So we're going to summarize first just the five major sections of our study, and then we're going to dive a little more into it. The first here is the what. Well, we know what the what. We just talked about it. The what is a Luke 9:23. It's what the daily lift represents. This daily surrendering of every bit of our lives to our Father. The why? Well, because everything that we do, even all the good stuff we try to do, even our righteous deeds, is self-centered, and therefore, in itself, is sinful, because we have that sinful, carnal nature. Our hearts are deceitfully wicked. Where the problem lies? Well, whenever we're struggling with our daily lift, it's because we're actually choosing that route. We end up believing one of Satan's lies, and we talked about several possible foundational thoughts of what those might be. We're in the heart of it, we're kind of afraid to really totally surrender to God. We may not look at it as being a fear, but why would we not choose that? Satan has got these lies instilled into our characters and our hearts, and we're hesitant to really go the 100%. So then we come to the how. The way to surrender on every issue is to put, remember, your will on the side of the Lord. And this is accomplished by choosing to believe God's word and allowing Jesus to work in us to will and to do his good pleasure, right? Okay. We're going to get a little more into each one. So that leaves the when. And we saw last time that the right time to make that choice is actually before the time of need. Remember? We must go to the throne of grace early in the morning or early in your day. There's some night shift workers around, I know. Whenever your day starts, the very beginning, go to the throne of grace in order to have that grace and that help in the time of your need. You're already living in connection with God. So when issues come up, you're right there. Okay, so let's look at how to apply these tenets. So first, we're going to look at the when and the why. Because as I stated earlier, too many Christians, I believe, are trying to fight the right battle, but at the wrong time, and thus they're struggling and losing. And as a result, many of us find ourselves doing the very thing we said we would not do, and we're not doing the things we want to do, right? If we're to be successful in surrendering, and I believe scripturally we need to, amen? We must do it like Jesus did, and at the right time. So in the when, we've already discovered that Jesus got up a great while before day. Remember? Mark 1:35. And he went to a quiet place to pray. Sometimes it was all night. But if you turn to Isaiah chapter 50, we see it's also important to know how to get up. In Isaiah 50, verses 4 and 5, gives us that information. So you can even look them up later this afternoon and do some more reading, hopefully. But Isaiah 50, verses 4 and 5 says, "The Lord God giveth me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He does what? He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth my ear to hear as the learned. For the Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back." Often Christians see this text as a prophecy of Jesus' experience. He depended on the Father to waken him daily, to give him wisdom as well as strength for that day. And friends, this is to be our experience also. Jesus is our example, amen? He was our example in all things, and if we'd begin asking for and allowing the Lord to wake us every morning, we would find the solution to the problem of not having enough time for a meaningful, devotional life one-on-one with God. When I say that we need to allow the Lord to wake us up, I'm not just talking about him giving us the gift of life every day. I'm actually talking about letting him be your alarm clock. This is what the text says. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth my ear to hear as a learned. The Lord God opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned back. Desire of Ages, page 363. She says, quote, "Everyone needs to have a personal experience in obtaining a knowledge of the will of God. We must individually hear him speaking to the heart. When every other voice is hushed, and in quietness we wait before him, the silence of the soul makes more distinct the voice of God." Close quote. Isn't that beautiful? You see why the early in the morning and the quiet place, yourself, you know, have your family worship, that's good, but you yourself, find that time, because we must individually hear him speak into the heart. When every other voice is hushed, when nothing else is in your mind and in your heart, in the quietness we wait before him, the silence of the soul makes more distinct the voice of God. So the Lord wants to wake us, to speak to us. Not just to wake us, but there's a reason. He wants to speak to us. And if we don't rebel by rolling over and going back to sleep, he'll speak to us personally, giving us the wisdom and the strength that we need for the day, for the things that we don't even know are going to happen. But God knows. He wants to give that to you early. This is what Jesus was talking about in Matthew 6, 33 and 34. Said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things will be added unto you. Therefore, take no thought for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Seek first the kingdom of God. Make that connection. Speak with God. Let God speak to you. Sometimes we get in our prayer time and we have a petition of needs and wants. And praise God, he wants to hear them. But he wants to speak to you too. And so we need some time to learn to just calm our heart and our minds and just try to be in the presence of God and listen to that still small voice. And don't give up. If you don't hear it first, if you struggle with it, continue, because God wants to speak to you. You can trust him. He wants to. So the first thing that should be our mind in the morning is seeking God in order to get that strength and the wisdom. Because too often we wake up with the combined worries of yesterday and today and tomorrow's problems on our minds. And the first thing we want to do, if you're like me, is seek how to solve them. If only we'd learn to do as Jesus did, we'd find that as we seek first the kingdom of God, in order to receive power to do his righteous will, all those worries will be taken care of. God works them out. When we allow him to awaken us each morning, he'll give us that wisdom we need for that challenges and the strength for that, because he knows that those things we can't handle, we won't worry about. Because we have received the assurance that day from the Lord that he's going to work all things for our good. This is how we can find a deep, perfect peace. Isaiah 26:3 says it comes from keeping our minds stayed on the Lord. That's like Enoch walking with God. It was a life, it was a character, it was a communion. It started when he woke up in the morning, and it continued all day. Because when we first seek the kingdom of God to do his will, God will bless you. So therefore, I suggest whatever you use to wake you up in the morning, continue to use it. But tonight, before going to bed, ask the Lord to wake you up with him on your mind. And do this every night for at least a week. I challenge you. Do it. And I'll guarantee that if not on the first night, at least for the week is out, God will have you awake before your usual time and he'll be on your mind. If that's your soul desire. The problem won't be if he calls you, or if he wants to talk to you, it will be with your response to God's call. You'll find that God will give you plenty of time to bring all your burdens and your worries and your needs to him. But he will always respect your power of choice. You can choose to give your will to him by making your decision to get up a little earlier, to spend quiet study time in his word and in prayer and communion, conversation with God, not just everything going that way, but Lord, speak to me. And that's why the tenet number two is important. The why. Why do we need to do all this? You know, why do I have to get up earlier? It's already hard to get up, right? Well, when the Lord wakes you up and you feel like going right back to sleep, remember, we're all hopeless slaves to sin. Every one of us. It's in the fallen nature. Without the power of God, we are hopeless. And if you don't get up and receive God's power and wisdom, you're going to be used and abused by Satan because of your weaknesses all day long. For there is a power, there is a holy power in the Word of God and in prayer and in the desire of your heart to dedicate your life to God and to invite him in. He will always honor your choice. So the short and simple of it is, why? We're toast without him. You struggle and fail like I did and do. God's not done in me yet. We all need the Savior. So to move to question number three, how? I know they're not in order on your handout, sorry. The how, though. Because after we review the when and the why, we understand, and maybe we're ready now to start giving our will to God, and we see we need to. And this can come to the how-to of surrendering. Now, we cannot give the Lord control of our lives in, like, just a general way, you know, like praying, Lord, take control of my life, and pop up and run out to face the day. If this was all that was necessary, then Jesus did not need to spend hours and hours, sometimes all night, agonizing in prayer with strong crying and tears. He did this because he knew that if he failed to give God the Father control, full control of each and every area of his life, Satan was going to get a victory over him. This is what he feared. Remember, we looked up the text. It says Jesus feared. He agonized in prayer with the Father at the throne of grace, and he received mercy and strength that he would find grace in the time of need. That's to be our experience too. That's why in John 5, you turn over to John 5, verse 30, Jesus could say, I of my own self do nothing. Wow. Isn't that an amazing sentence? Jesus saying, I can of my own self do nothing? I mean, isn't he Jesus? He continues, he says, as I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. Because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. Oh, there's a powerful clue. Jesus took everything concerning his life to the Father in prayer, and he surrendered his will to the Father on every issue. And this, my friends, is the only way he could say that everything he did was done in the power and the authority of his Father. None of it was his will. In fact, I didn't give you the text, but if you want, I'll give you a few more here on this, because it is amazing. Jesus says, not my way, not me, not me, not me. John 5, 19. These are all in John, so I just pulled these. John 5, 19. John 6, 38. John 6, 38. Excuse me, 28, not 38. John 8, 28. And John 14, verse 10. John 14, verse 24. And John 14, verse 31. Seven times here in John, Jesus says, not me, not me, not me. He took everything concerning his life to the Father in prayer and surrendered his will to the Father on every issue. Is there a good clue for us? So if you think that it's not necessary for you to die to self daily and that you're doing pretty good yourself, may I humbly suggest that you study the life of Jesus Christ. For that's exactly what he did each and every day of his life. And he's the only one that lived it successfully, right? We, too, have access to all the same power. It's our choice to use it or not. Desire of Ages, page 363. She says, quote, as one with us, a sharer in our needs and weaknesses, he, this is Jesus, was wholly dependent upon God. And in the secret place of prayer, he sought divine strength, that he might go forth braced for duty and trial. In a world of sin, Jesus endured struggles and torture of soul. In communion with God, he could unburden the sorrows that were crushing him. Here he found comfort and joy. As a man, he supplicated the throne of God till his humanity was charged with a heavenly current that should connect humanity with divinity. His experience is to be ours. Close quote. Wow. That's why the bottom of your handout sheet, I put those little ones down there. It says, when we begin to pray like Jesus, we'll begin to live like Jesus. When we begin to pray like Jesus, we will begin to live like Jesus. We all want to live like Jesus. Amen? We're Christian. And when we, like Jesus, surrender each and every day, every part of our life to God, we will find that true soul, deep peace and happiness, and experience an enhanced spiritual life. It's something the world doesn't understand, because it can only be found in that total surrender and the indwelling of the power of God in your life. The Lord meant it when he said in John 8:36, he said, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. There's a boom, exclamation point underlined. But you have to have the Son. You have to live like the Son. You connect with the Father and he gives you victory over every sin in your heart and your life. And like David's prayer, our text today, we pray, Lord, search my heart. Come into me. Reveal to me. I'll paraphrase here. Reveal to me whatever's in there. There's things hidden in there. There are things I'm probably aware of, but there's probably things you're not aware of at this point. God wants to come in and clean out. God will lead you in a way everlasting, no matter what your problem is. Forgive me if I've told you this before, but it always reminds me of there's a little story of the little boy who went with his family to prayer meeting each night. And there was a lovely Christian elderly lady there. It came her turn to pray, and each time she prayed, she'd say, Lord, sweep the cobwebs of sin from my heart. Each week she'd come, Lord, sweep the cobwebs of sin from my heart. She did this week after week. Finally, once again, she said, Lord, clean this cobwebs of sin from my heart. And this little boy piped up and said, and would you please kill the spider too? That's what we need. We need eradication from the root. So the indwelling of God fills us 100%. Because we know with God it's 100%. Or not. Remember, sin is combustible material. We hang on to sin, in the end days, it burns. God doesn't want anyone lost. Amen? Selected Messages, Volume 1, page 325 says, how willing is Christ to take possession of the soul temple if we let him? See, there's that free will again. Then why does he not enter? She says, it's because the love of sin closed the door of the heart. But as soon as we consent to give sin up, to acknowledge our guilt, the barrier is removed between the soul and the Savior. Key point. Friends, if you've been struggling with your daily lift, don't be afraid to trust him. He loves you so much more than you know or love yourself. He's done everything for your salvation. He even supplies all the power to change you to get you ready to meet him. He's already paid the price for your sin. But it's up to you what you do with it. Make your choice right now to follow him, please, and to give him total control over everything in your heart and your life, whatever it is. Be it money, be it time, be it habits, your will, your thoughts, your dress, your diet, your passions, whatever. All of who you are. Because only then will you begin to experience what the Lord promised. Remember, we looked at it in Psalm 37:4 a few weeks ago. It says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of your heart. How many here want the desires of your heart filled? Yeah, amen. And we went back, remember, and we looked at the Hebrew for the word delight. Delight thyself. And actually what it means is to be soft and pliable in the Lord's hands. Like a potter's clay. Let the Lord do in his way, in his power, in his way, in his timing, everything that needs to be done in your heart and your life. Delight thyself. Be soft in the Lord. Be glad the Lord wants to do this in you. He wants to save you. He wants to prepare you to live with him forever. But we need to let him. So we come back now kind of to where we started with the surrendering of our will to God. Turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Second Timothy 1, verse 12. The Apostle Paul professes his confidence in the Lord's ability to keep him. We need that confidence too. He says here, for I know whom I've believed. Listen to the positivity there. For I know whom I believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him that day. Right? Against that day. I know I'm believed. I'm persuaded he's able. But that's not enough. You have to commit unto him. That's the surrendering of the will. That is the yearning for him to clean and to dwell within your clean heart. I know who I believed. I know him. And yeah, I'm persuaded. He's able. He can do everything in my heart and my life. He can give me every victory I need, no matter what it is, on the things I commit to him. And friends, many Christians are happy to commit 90, 95, 98%. But if we're honest, we often have a little something we kind of hold back. God says, I want it all. I want to clean you out. I want to live within you. So we need to commit to him that 100% surrender, that cross daily, for him to live in us. Each of us must then and can then have that complete confidence in the Lord. And don't let anything or anybody take it away from you. Satan will try. He'll bring doubts. He'll bring friends. He'll bring peer pressure. He'll bring old habits. He'll bring old nature out. All the things he can. We must be confident. God can give me victory because I've committed everything to him. It's our confidence in the Lord's ability to keep that which we've committed that gives us the victory. And it's not just me. Turn to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Oh, excuse me. Chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 4. 1 John 5, verse 4. Says, for whatsoever is born of God does what? Overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, You know what it is? Even our faith. Confidence in the Lord, in his ability to do what he said, because God says, I cannot lie. He is trustworthy. E.G. White, Review and Herald, December 29, 1910. Way back then, she says, quote, it is not our efforts that bring victory. How many can say, whew? Yeah. It is not our efforts that bring victory. It is seeing God behind the promise and believing and trusting in him. Grasp by faith the hand of infinite power. The Lord is faithful who has promised. Close quote. Isn't that wonderful? Infinite power. Hey, you guys are pretty strong, but measly. God can overpower anything in your heart and your life. And he wants to. That's what's so neat about it. He's paid for it. He's opened the door. He's invited you in, but you can't bring sin in. So we need, like David, today's text, plead with God to search and reveal in us whatever it is that might get in the way and surrender 100% of your life to him early in the day before you meet Satan. Because as we go about our day trusting in God's ability to keep us, we will find he is able to do just that. Temptations that once caused us to stumble will be overcome with ease. It'll surprise you. Yeah, you may struggle. Maybe you not got everything surrendered yet. When you feel that struggle, plead with him. But God will be working in us through the indwelling of his Holy Spirit. That's the most powerful power in all creation. When we need to pray, the Holy Spirit will put a prayer on your lips and thoughts in your mind and guide your heart, if that's the desire of your heart, from the beginning of your day. Anything we need to live victoriously will be given to us at the precise time that we need it, because we've already been to the throne of grace and received God's promise and power. This is what it means to walk in the Spirit, to live continually with God. Because when we're under the Holy Spirit's control, praise God, we'll have no desire to sin, because it's contrary to the Spirit of God. There's your victorious life. Our obedience will be impulsive and continual. 1 John 3. Turn back a page or two. 1 John 3, verses 5 and 6. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever hath sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Whoa. But when you abide in Christ and he in you, there's no sin. Jesus didn't sin, right? And when we've been crucified with Christ, that's that daily dying to self, he is able to keep us from sinning. He is. Then why do we struggle? From Our High Calling, page 76, quote, do not settle down in Satan's easy chair and say that it's no use. You cannot cease to sin. There's no power in you to overcome. There is no power in you apart from Christ. But it is your privilege to have Christ abiding in your heart by faith, and he can overcome sin in you. When you cooperate with his efforts, close quote. There comes that freedom of choice that is so important to God. So when we first come to the Lord, we're full of sin, right? We're full of self. It's natural. There are things in our lives that are hidden even in the deep subconscious of your mind, inherited and acquired habits and bad desires. And we don't even consciously know about some of those things, yet they strongly influence who you are, the way you think and act. Hebrews 12:15 calls these hidden sins the root of bitterness. It's that spider that little boy was talking about. Because they're the source of so many of the sins and the problems that we commit. And sometimes we come up against certain sins and we just cannot seem to get the victory over them. Oh, we pray about them, but our prayers just seem to hit the ceiling and fall to the floor. As a result, we can often start to doubt our own sincerity. But it isn't a problem of sincerity, friends. But maybe we can call ourselves a little ignorant. Because we're told in 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow in grace. So there are things we don't know. There's things we're ignorant of yet that we haven't gotten victory because God hasn't worked in us on that point. But don't be hard on yourself. Remember, Jesus did not reveal everything to his original disciples, right? Because he says they wouldn't have been able to bear it. So it is with us. So it is with us. God in his love and mercy, if he were to reveal all the truth about ourselves at one time, we couldn't stand it. He so tenderly guides us to more and more truths as we understand and grow in his grace more and more. That's also, friends, why we need to be patient with each other. Not to be harsh or judgmental on each other. Not to excuse sin, but God is working in all of us. At his rate, at his time. But we can encourage one another, amen? We can pray for one another. We want to be the most loving, Christ-centered people on the planet, right here in Sutherland. And we can be, with God's character. Quote, there are those who have known the pardoning love of Christ and who really desire to be children of God, yet they realize their character is imperfect, their life faulty, and they're ready to doubt whether their hearts have been renewed by the Holy Spirit. To such I would say, do not draw back in despair. We shall often have to bow down and weep at the feet of Jesus because of our shortcomings and mistakes. But we are not to be discouraged. Even if we are overcome by the enemy, we are not cast off, not forsaken and rejected of God. Can you say hallelujah? Yeah. No, she says. Christ is at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. He desires to restore you to himself, to see his own purity and holiness reflected in you. And if you will but yield yourself to him, he that hath begun a good work in you will carry it forward to the day of Jesus Christ. The closer you come to Jesus, the more faulty you will appear in your own eyes. For your vision will be clearer, and your imperfections will be seen in broad and distinct contrast to his perfect nature. Close quote. Steps to Christ, page 64. Encouraging words, aren't they? Friends, this is the result of the daily surrender. That's why I think it's a key thing for all Christians. When you see sin in your life, don't get discouraged. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, as you've heard the saying. Don't toss it out. Lose confidence in the Lord's ability to keep you. No. Stay with the Lord. Don't let people discourage you. Don't let them chase you from church. Don't let them ruin your relationship with God. No. Don't let anyone steal that relationship with God. Satan doesn't care who he uses to discourage you, including yourself. So you see why it's a call for a deepest surrender? As you learn to do this, you can advance from one level of perfection to another as God continues to lead you as you remain surrendered. Mark 4:28, Jesus reminds us, he says, first is the blade, the young plant. And then it grows up. And then pretty soon there's an ear. And then after that, the full corn in the ear. But you know what? That plant was perfect when it broke the ground. And it was perfect as the little leaves came out. And it was perfect as, you know, the first blade, ear, corn, tassel at each stage. Jesus says, if you stay surrendered to him, he will lead you through all the development that he knows you personally need in your life. Isn't God lovely? And this life of surrender and God's power in our hearts is the biblical perfection. Jesus says he comes to get his bride, his church, his people, that will be then spotless, without wrinkle or imperfection. It's a work of a lifetime. Because as long as we're alive, it's our privilege to grow in the image of God. Don't be scared by that high bar. God says, I will take you all the way there. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. And he wants nothing more than to save each one of you and anyone who hears my voice. Yes, that's why as long as we stay surrendered, we will grow, because that's what God wants to do. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's the mind we need, that surrendered one. And as we obey this admonition and we take up our cross daily, we'll be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He supplies everything I need. I have no want. Psalm 23, verse 1. We'll know from our own experience that surrender is the only way in this world you can find that perfect peace, that deep soul indwelling peace and happiness that we all need and want. God put the desire for it in our hearts because he wants to bring you to that point. And he can, day by day, and he'll learn you. He will continue to grow you all the way to eternal life. Praise God. Praise God. So our prayer here in closing song, number 567 is, have thine own way, Lord. And if I may quickly remind those, if you're interested in the prayer time back in the prayer room and the social committee down front here right after church for a few minutes. And I'd like to suggest to those who aren't involved in either of those, don't wait on everybody for potluck. Go ahead and get started. Just leave a little bit of food for those who are late coming. But you don't have to wait. God bless. Heavenly Father, that is the prayer of our heart today. And hopefully each and every day. Lord, have thine own way. We need you. Continue to touch our hearts and our minds to the realization of how deep that need is. And create in us a willingness to trust you to surrender everything that we are and everything that we have, our very being, Lord, into thy care, and to truly mean it. And to ask you to do whatever is necessary in our hearts. Search us, we pray. Reveal any hidden things. Lord, cleanse us. May we learn what it means to sacrifice self, to get rid of the sinful nature, and Lord, to ask and plead for thy divine, holy character to live within us. Give us courage. Give us strength. Lord, keep the evil one away, because we know he hates it when we turn to you completely. So Lord, bless each one as we renew ourselves and our resolve to you and ask you to have your way in all we are. We praise you and we thank you for that love we can trust, because we come in the name of Jesus. God's people say, amen, amen, Lord, and amen.